Next up, we're going to be welcoming Denise Allen to the stage on behalf of Haiti Action Halifax. Haiti Action is a group of grassroots activists who are working in solidarity with the people of Haiti to raise local awareness of the situation going on there. Right now, three of their members are doing independent journalism in Haiti, and you can actually find their reports off of www.nspirg.org. That's www.nspirg.org. Give it up for Denise Allen.
On behalf of the Haiti Action Coalition, I would like to thank Dave Ron of the Nova Scotia Interest Group for the opportunity to address Canada's involvement in Haiti.
Yeah, Dave!
Certainly I will address that topic. However, I would be remiss if I did not include how Haiti's plight is deeply rooted in racism and the transatlantic slave trade. This topic is dear to me for many reasons, but the main reason is obvious. We share the same ancestors. We are the children of the diaspora. In addition, I will expand upon and emphasize not only how, as taxpayers, we've been drawn into the atrocities committed against Haiti at this point, but also discuss how we must be involved to halt, correct, and reverse this horrific trend, and in so doing, ensure a healthy future for all people of Haiti. Today, the vast majority of Haitians live in abject poverty. After nearly 300 years of enslavement, the people of Haiti were the first to overcome the yoke of European enslavement and captured their independence from France in 1804. However, in 1825, many powerful governments, currently of the G8, such as the United States, Britain, and France, along with their allies, united against Haiti with the threat of armed warfare until Haiti was forced to pay 150 million francs in reparations for the projected loss of revenues that France would have acquired due to the ownership of Haitian human property. To compound matters, in order to stave off these ruthless predators, Haiti was forced to pay an additional 8.5 million francs to the European Allied forces, 8.4 million pounds to Britain, $13.1 to the United States, for a grand total of 30 million francs resulting from the loss of projected revenues anticipated from the export of Haiti's resources. I heard that. The strangulation intensified when these allied forces choked Haiti into borrowing the money from the Bank of France. At that time, the initial amount compounded by the interest accrued on this massive debt forced upon Haiti amounted to more than France's annual budget and 10 years of Haiti's revenue. No wonder it took Haiti over 100 years to pay it off. To this day, Haiti continues to be crippled by massive debts to foreign powers that have no claim to the wealth of Haiti's human resources and no conscionable or legitimate claim to her natural resources. To add insult to injury, when France could no longer capitalize off of Haiti, it sold Louisiana to the United States for 60 million francs, less than the illegitimate debt that Haiti was forced to pay off. In hindsight and ironically, there's no need to wonder why the black people of Louisiana are less than an afterthought before, during, and after Katrina. The former and beloved Haiti, beloved president of Haiti, Jean Bertrand Aristide, who was abducted by Canadian and American forces in 2004, was fully aware of this early hideous scam and aimed to end Haiti's perpetual poverty by demanding the theft of revenues paid out to France be returned in reparations to Haiti. The amount is worth approximately $21 billion today. Haiti remains a haven of cheap labor and garment sweatshops. It endures a reputation as the lowest minimum wage earners in the hemisphere, and Canadian corporations have reaped the benefits like pigs at the trough. One business that comes to mind is the Montreal-based clothing manufacturer, Gildan Activewear. It's not surprising that it boasts of record earnings. Despite the IMF and World Bank under structural adjustment schemes were pressuring Haiti's leaders to give up its publicly owned services in favor of privatization and deregulation, Aristide refused. Needless to say, his days were numbered at that point. as a warrant was issued for his capture, but prior to his detainment, Aristide had raised the minimum wage. The coup that led to Aristide's abduction was funded by Canada through CETA. Perhaps the most prominent profiteer has been the Quebec-based engineering firm, NSC-Lavalin. Not only does NSC-Lavalin have a $22 billion contract to construct the Canadian embassy in Haiti, they also are involved in highly confidential negotiations with CETA for the reconstruction contracts in Haiti. SNC has been awarded an $8 million Quiffle Railroad construction project. I hardly believe our tax dollars stop there. It remains to be seen how many Canadian-based corporations will be in receipt of Canadian aid money, that's in quotes, for their support for coups in Haiti. Need I remind all of us here today as taxpayers, our money is financing the theft of democracy at this point in Haiti. Further, Gerard Ratchetu, the interim leader after the coup, was hand-selected by Canadian and American national electives. Many of our elected representatives would have us believe they knew nothing of these events, when in fact they were well aware of the swindle and did nothing to contravene. Imagine if after the sponsorship scandal, a foreign government handpicked a replacement and kicked Paul Martin out. How would he like it? Through Canada's involvement, the Haitian National Police, originally founded by Aristide, were retrained under direct RCMP instruction. Haiti's economy was so poor at that point, but rather than fund social programs, international foreign governments withheld money and or allocated to more important projects that I will mention later on. There wasn't enough money in the Haitian economy to adequately sustain paying the salaries of the Haitian National Police, and subsequently they jumped ship to align themselves in the hands of the barbarians that controlled their purse strings. In so doing, wound up killing their own people. So who creates all the violence that we heard about earlier today at the start of this event? The environments were created by the people, just like the Romans did in the divide in the earlier days, by using divide and conquer tactics, and it continues to be applied worldwide. Upon his appointment as president, Lacroix's first act in office was to rescind Aristide's demand for reparation and demonize Aristide as an out of control, insane criminal. Sound familiar? Coincidentally, Paul Martin's first act of foreign policy was to assign the RCMP personnel into Haiti, all of which was designed to break the determination and will of the people of Haiti into submission. But contrary to their expectations, and although confronted relentlessly by the threat of death under the guise of United Nations peacekeepers, the people of Haiti again democratically elected their chosen candidate for president. However, the deck continues to be stacked against him as well. What freedom will he have to restore the hospitals, to repair the roads, to build schools, etc.? The RCMP have been providing logistics and backup to the Haitian National Police as though through their commander of the United Nations Civil Police Force in a report released in January by the Center for Study of Human Rights in Miami. Haiti was to engage in a daily guerrilla warfare, and the same leading officer stated that his mandate was to coach, train, and provide information to the Haitian National Police. How much longer must the people of this world suffer before they achieve true justice? I say tomorrow is not promised to any of us, so let us decide today on an action plan that will hold our government's involvement in the desolation of Haiti to account. As taxpayers, make our government repair the damage they caused in the brutal and murderous attacks on unarmed women and their children. Add our voices to the demand for reparations from France, the United States, and Britain, and all other allies that pillages and robs and continues to aid in the destruction of Haiti and the horrors experienced by the people of Haiti on a daily basis. Let us mount an effective campaign that will restore their potential natural resources and cancel all debts, and furthermore, make the perpetrators pay back the money they accumulated from the transatlantic slave trade. Let us commit to being a part of the victorious battle that is on the horizon so that all may bathe in the glorious comfort of world peace. Today, all over the world, we are in solidarity in our quest for peace. But how will we have peace in the absence of equal rights and justice? I am reminded every day how slavery and racism shows no mercy for black people and their supporters. Nor can I forget the slogan on the banner leading to the protest against the G8 in June 2002. No one is free when others are oppressed. Enough is enough.